The regular season is just about done across the Upper Cumberland as our high school basketball teams get ready for district play and try to make their case to be included in the state tournament. It is mid-February across the Upper Cumberland, and Saturday morning, dawning with a final Friday night of regular season action. Welcome to the High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Today, we're going to crisscross the Upper Cumberland all across UC Sports Nation and bring you the coaches to talk about where their teams stand as district tournament play approaches. A lot of teams will get started in the district tournament on Monday night. First things first, a lot of teams tried to get some of the games done Thursday night so they could have a little bit more preparation time for district tournament. But there were a handful of games on Friday night. Let's get to the scores. First one, a big win for Stone Memorial as they really took it to White County last night. Stone Memorial's girls now 25-2. They beat White County 66-37. The Stone Memorial boys, however, fall to White County 59-58. The final score, Grant Slatton finished with 28 points in a winning effort. Cumberland County girls beat Grundy County 65-47. The Cumberland boys win over Grundy 74-73. Cookeville's girls get an impressive win over Ray County last night. Katie Dunaway with 15 points for Cookeville. Cavaliers win it 56-46, the final. On the boys' side, Cavaliers also win over Ray County 51-47. Zach Hall finished with 12 points for Cookeville. Battle of Clay and Van Buren counties last night. On the girls' side, it goes to the Bulldogs. 49-47, the final, as Clay County dels Van Buren County. Riley Burchett finished with 16 for Clay County. Clay County boys victorious over Van Buren County. Final there, 68-43. Grant Strong finished with 25 points for Clay County as they wrap up the regular season. So the White County Warriors locking up the district tournament in boys play this past week with their earlier win over Ray County. You know, one of the main keys to this season for White County, just as it was last night in the win over Stone Memorial, has been Grant Slatton. Head coach Eric Mitchell joins us now on the High School Playbook. Coach, your defense, though, has also really improved over the course of this season.
I have. He's really improved the defender. Of course, you know, we've played a lot of zone in the past, and now we're playing a lot more man-to-man. When you practice every day, you get better at it. And he's such a good athlete. He can be out of position and still make the play. But, yes, he's improved tremendously. He's also, he leads us about in every category as a team. His assists went up. His shooting percentages went up. His defensive reboundings went up. You know, his offensive reboundings went up. So he's continued to improve throughout the season.
So looking at just the regular season ends, you know, on Friday, and then you've got district after that, who are a couple players besides Grant that you know you're going to need to step up and produce even more than they already have if you want to make a run to state?
Well, you know, all of them as a team, you know, you want them to step up. Mason Winningham, you know, he wound up last night, you know, hitting two or three threes in a row that kind of sealed it for us. You know, of course, Grant can score, you know, a busted play. Grant can score at will. And then, of course, Kagan Dotson, he's really been, the kind of the floor general and his speed and quickness. And then, of course, Tate Clark's been steady. He's the gridiron man. He does everything dirty, takes charges, rebounds, you know, usually guards their toughest post player. And then Tanner Paul and Tucker Nash have got to play their role. And then Austin Burchett's back, and we got to get him back in rhythm and play, you know, doing his thing. So, you know, we want all of them to do that. So
when you look back at, because I know you've spent a lot of time with these seniors and you've spoken very highly about each of them, what is it you're going to miss most about this group when they're gone?
Well, just, you know, number one, their game time experience. They've logged a lot of minutes over the last 3 and 4 mm-hmm. years. So, you know, especially three, they've been in the heat of the battle since they were sophomores. So it just kind of let fail. Their freshman year, we had 9 seniors. And then, of course, they all had to step in and play as sophomores, which doesn't happen all the time. But they're gym rats. They stay in the gym. And like I said, their game experience, they're good defenders, and at times, you know, during stretches, we have a little bit of a, every now and again, have a down shooting night, but for the most part, they're really good shooters, night in, night out.
It feels like when I look at guys like Kagan and Austin, it feels like they're – one thing they do a good job of is they bring those kind of intangibles that you need as a veteran basketball player. Do you believe the same to be true about them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, one thing you can expect, they may not make every shot. They may not – they may make mistakes, but they play hard every game. And that's something that you just – you don't – you just can't teach. I mean, I know when I put them out there that, they're going to make mistakes, but – playing hard, you know, that's effort and heart, and they really have that. They play hard each and every night.
So you've got Stone on Friday. You've taken them down once. You mentioned it was the first time in a couple of years that you'd beaten them. What are you trying to improve on from your previous matchup with them?
Well, it's going to be a tough game. I'm sure it'll be their senior night, and it'll be an emotional night for them, and it's on the road. And, you know, we have beaten them first time, so we hope that plays a little bit of part in it. But, you know, it's one of those games where we've already locked it up, and we just want to go out there and continue to do what we've been doing, and you know, hope that we continue that on throughout the tournament. It's kind of a weird game for us. I mean, it's turned into a rivalry game. I hope that inspires our kids to go play, even though we've already won the district. But Stone's a very good basketball team. I think until we had beaten them, they'd only lost one game since early December. So they're going to be ready for us, and we've got to be ready as well.
I know no coach likes to look ahead past any game, but how excited are you and your team to compete in the postseason?
Oh, we're very excited, and especially it's at Roysville Gymnasium here, and we don't have to travel. That's going to be big. And you know, these kids, they've worked really hard, and we've been in the district championship the last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I don't know how many times we've played in a row, but we want to get one for them, and they deserve it. But you got to go out, and you got to work hard, and, you know, got a bunch of really solid teams right now in our district, and Ray County's even playing really good right now. So, you know, it's going to be a good tournament.
White County with a one-point win over Stone Memorial last night, and they get set for hosting the tournament at home beginning Tuesday night. Clay County Lady Bulldogs heading into this tournament with a bye in the first round. Some kind of like the bye, but you know, a lot of coaches don't like the bye. They worry about the opportunity to come in and maybe you get a little rusty, you don't play as well. What about Coach Walker of the Clay County Bulldogs?
Well, we're happy to have the single bye, but obviously we'd rather have the double. I think any team in our district can beat anybody. You know, those teams that are sitting 5-8 right now, my goodness, they're all scary. You know, Trousdale, we was fortunate to beat Trousdale in third place. Gordonsville, we wound up winning by like 6, but we're down to the first 3 quarters at Gordonsville. Monterey come out and scored for like 65 or something points on us at Monterey. So all of them are dangerous.
And knowing that, what's it going to take for your team to be the last one standing at the end of this tournament?
I think, like I said, any team's capable of winning. I think it's just a matter of finding some consistency. Every team presents a unique challenge. So just finding some consistency, whether it's by scoring offensively or just by defending. You know, I think our defense is kind of what's carried us all year, and that's been consistent for us. So I feel like we're going to have a chance to be there as long as we keep defending at a high level.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the district tournament, and it's fun to look ahead and all that, but you do still have one more game you've got to play with Van Buren on Friday. How much have you seen from them, and what is there for your team to prepare for?
I know Van Buren is 16-6 right now, so they're obviously very good. They have beat Monterey twice. They beat Gordonsville twice. And right now, Gordonsville is the fifth best team in our district. So I feel like Van Buren would certainly slide into that at least 4 or 5 seed in our district. So I think they're definitely a capable team. They're going to finish first or second in their district. So that would be a possible first-round region matchup. If, you know, if you finish 3 or 4 in our district, you'd have to go there and play for that first round of the region. So, so we're definitely not taking them lightly.
District basketball tournaments next on the agenda across the Upper Cumberland. This high school basketball season has flown by. Let's talk some Livingston Wildcats hoops as the high school playbook continues, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Regular season ended for the Wildcats on Thursday night as they fall to Cannon County by a 56-48 final. Leslie Riddle's team's 14 and 15 on the regular season. One of the youngest teams in the Upper Cumberland, and though they're not from a record standpoint where Coach Riddle would like them to be, Coach, I guess you really like the stakes in terms of the postseason for your basketball team.
Well, that's what you play for all year. You know, you try to play as many different kinds of opponents and different settings, you know, tough environments and more friendly environments to try to prepare yourself for the finality of those elimination games and really work on your mental toughness all year. So, I mean, this is kind of why you play basketball, for the tournament time.
Looking at the season as a whole, you know, you guys obviously play in one of the toughest districts in the state. What's your overall assessment of your team's performance this year?
We had our ups and downs, but I feel like we got better. I feel like we got better every game, and I feel like as a young team, I think there were times where we kind of, you know, digressed a little bit because of fatigue. I think that matters a whole lot more with younger kids, especially if they're having to play a whole lot of minutes in games. So I think that bothered us a little bit with the youth, but you know, I'm really happy with where we are at this point. I mean, obviously I wouldn't want to be in the sixth seed spot if given the opportunity to be higher than that, but I'm really happy with the advancement we've made throughout the season.
It really felt like these last few weeks, even if the records didn't really show it, it really felt like this team was playing a lot better and a lot more consistently. Did you see that as well?
Absolutely, especially in defense and rebounding, you know, the effort things. Mm-hmm. You want to make all your shots and perfectly execute your offense and things like that, but that's not realistic. But at this point in the season, you expect the effort things to be almost flawless, and I think we got almost to that point where we weren't giving up easy things and with our defense, and we weren't being pounded on the boards by teams, even if they were a whole lot bigger than us. I think we did a lot of the fundamental things much better later in the season. I was definitely happy with that.
With a younger team like yours, is consistency sometimes the hardest thing to kind of get down pat?
Well, it seems to be. I mean, I'm not much of an expert on really young teams. I've been blessed, you know, in my career of having, you know, veteran teams that are really teaching the younger ones as we go along. But the last few years, we've had to rely a lot on younger teams. But that seems to be the problem, just the inconsistency. And honestly, there's a little bit of a lack of urgency. You get those older teams, and you get toward this time of the season, and they know it's almost over, and they'll fight a whole lot harder than maybe a younger kid would.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on Allie Qualls and how she's run your offense so far this year?
Oh, I'm very happy with Allie. She's had to split some time this year with Kaylee Asbury and Alexis Phipps all at the one because she's had the flu a couple of times and had different things going on, but she's really grown up. I mean, you got a two-year starter there, you know, at the one position. She's not a great scorer, but she's gotten better at seeing the floor, and her turnovers have gone down a lot since early in the season, so she's really growing up in that position.
Where do you potentially see her getting even better?
Well, she's got to improve on her scoring. I think the better people know us, the more they know they don't have to guard her as much on the perimeter because she's not going to consistently knock down shots. And in our district, if you've got one kid that doesn't score a lot or can't score a lot, that's really easy just to, you know, not really guard those kids and help on somebody that's a little more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned Haley as someone to me that does just whatever you ask of her. She does a little bit of everything, and she does what it takes to win. Is it possible at all to overstate her importance to this team, or is it just impossible to do that?
I think it's impossible. I mean, she does a lot of little things, and a lot of people just don't understand it. She, like I said before, she gets the toughest defensive assignment. If it's a bigger kid, she leads us in rebounding almost every game. She can shoot the three, she can post up, she can help us handle the ball if somebody's pressuring us and our guards are having trouble. She's just one of those utility players that I wouldn't say she's great at anything, but she's very efficient and very good at most everything.
So looking at this team right now, and you said you've got a young team, you've got a lot of players coming back next year, but when you look at the few seniors that there are on this team, when you look back on their time in your program, what is it you're going to miss the most about them?
Well, I think the word resilience is overused in athletics, but I think that's who they are. You know, they started as a group of nine, and, you know, honestly, none of them great players, even at their elementary school level, and they have just continued to fight, and the four that we have left have continued to fight and continue to try to improve, and they're very vocal leaders. Even the two that blew out knees over Christmas tournaments, Hannah and Emily have, mm-hmm. you know, they've continued to be vocal and practice and try to be supportive and help almost in a coaching capacity. And then, of course, Annabeth and Susanna are leaders on the floor all the time. You know, they're very supportive, and I've been extremely proud. I mean, they're not the ones who are getting their names in the paper and being talked about when you talk about all district ballots and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been really proud of their humility and their ability to be for the younger kids, even, you know, when they're not in the spotlight.
Do you think those four kind of hopefully give a little bit more light to, like, you know, yes, these are athletes, yes, this is where we see them a lot, but these are also kids that, you know, are human beings, that are people away from the game as well?
Oh, they're wonderful kids. And that's something that I've been blessed with, you know, at Livingston as long as I've been there. You know, these kids are great students. They're great role models in the school. And I've never had I should knock on wood as I'm saying this, but I've never had a discipline issue within the school with any of my players. But, yeah, they're wonderful kids. And, you know, with that kind of a kid that maybe is not the great athlete, I think you focus more on the life lessons individually with those kids, and hopefully they'll come away with the, you know, the work ethic and the working as a team and being that leader and all the other things that you get from sports besides, you know, wins and losses.
So it's postseason time. We've said this already. This is what you play for all year. What is the X factor in your eyes for this team to make a run?
The only thing that I think that we have to change is our shooting percentage. Mm-hmm. I mean, getting back to the X's and O's at this point, if we make shots, we can win. If we don't, we're going to lose. And I know that's oversimplifying the matter, but that's been the case. I mean, that everybody says score one more point. And you can do all you can do. You go through the season and you try to perfect the defense, perfect the box outs and all those things. But honestly, if you don't make shots, all that stuff's not going to matter.
Leslie Riddle, head coach of the Livingston Wildcats, who will begin their postseason journey Monday night when they take on Watertown. So one young basketball team to another young basketball team, the DeKalb County Tigers, currently sixth place in their district. Their regular season also ended on Thursday night as they fall. Final score in their game against Smith County, 61-33. DeKalb County currently 6-21 on the season. But the good news in that record is that Coach John Sanders believes that the seniors have laid the foundation for where this program can go in the future, and that starts with Dakota White and Dallas Clark.
You know, Dakota's one of those kids, like, in practice, he's one of the hardest workers we have, you know, in his drills and stuff like that. He doesn't like to lose. He doesn't like to lose drills, doesn't like to get out work. You know, it doesn't matter if we're running sprints, whatever we're doing, he tries to do the best he can. So he leads by example. You know, he's learned to be more of a vocal leader too, which is really good. You know, and Dallas is just, you know, a lot of the kids look up to him because he's played a lot over the years. You know, he's been on the team all 4 years. You know, so they look up to him to be a leader in that sense.
So what is it you're going to miss about those two and as well as the other seniors on your team?
You know, I think just, you know, they're, like you said, you know, their leadership, just, you know, the way they've impacted the game at times, you know, throughout this year. You know, Dakota's been hurt a lot. You know, it's sort of unfortunate for him that he didn't get to play every game this season. I felt like, you know, he at times he was having to try to get himself back in a groove because he had to sit out several games with injuries and stuff like that or sickness. But, you know, just how hard he's worked, especially, and Alan Mino for sure. You know, Alan's a hard worker. You know, those two twins, they work really hard in practice. You know, just how, you know, everything that they brought for our program the last 2 years, you know, hoping that they're helping lay a foundation for the future guys. You know, I think that's sort of their legacy. I'm hoping that if they can maybe get to the region tournament so they have something to hang their hat on, you know, when they leave.
So speaking of that foundation that they've laid, who do you see as kind of the next crop of leaders on this team?
Well, it's going to fall, you know, really on our junior and sophomore class. But I think Braden Antoniak, you know, and Luke Jenkins are two guys that are probably going to have to step up and be leaders for us down the road. Elijah Ramos, you know, those three, they work really hard. And all three of them have some skill and ability. They all three have stuff they need to work on, too, to get better. But they're three kids that work really hard, you know, every day they're in here. And so I think those are three that the other teammates will follow as long as they continue to work like they are.
Head coach John Sanders of the DeKalb County Tigers. Their district tournament is set for Watertown. They'll get started on Monday night as they take on Macon County. Congratulations to a couple of Upper Cumberland basketball standouts who are finalists in the TSSAA Mr. and Mrs. Basketball competition. This is the High School Playbook from Chick-fil-A. Interstate Drive on a beautiful Saturday morning across the Upper Cumberland. Reagan Hurst has had a great season for the Upperman Lady Bees. She is one of the finalists in Class AA Miss Basketball. And congratulations to Dalton Marsh, Red Boiling Springs. He is a finalist in Class A Mr. Basketball. Those final winners will be announced as we get toward the end of the tournament, so mid-March. If you can believe, it's that close. Just around the corner. You know, the Upperman Bees on the men's side have not lost in 2020. Their last loss on this 2019-2020 campaign came back all the way December 30th. They are on quite a run. Head coach Bobby McWilliams knows that proper preparation has been a key to what this team has achieved. And I guess, Coach, that continues now.
Well, sure. I mean, you have to be prepared. You know, there's a lot of things goes into that, you know. A lot of it to the scout, a lot of it to, you know, to preparing your body as far as, you know, your conditioning, making sure you're eating right and you're sleeping right and getting all the things you need in your body that requires you to perform. And I think the kids have, you know, for 16, 17-year-old kids, I think for the most part, they have bought into that and they understand that. That's, but I also, you know, game-wise, got to look at, you know, preparing for scout reports, but then, you know, we try to make sure we get ourselves ready as well. We want to do the things we do along with trying to counter what the other teams do. And so we spend, you know, quite a bit of time on both ends of the floor when we prep for games. You know, we feel like that's really important for us.
So let's talk about Colin then, because he was – really, really solid against DeKalb. He puts up 20 points on offense, but he really wreaked havoc on defense, too, with six steals. Does he serve as one of those tone setters for you at that end of the floor as the point guard?
Absolutely. You know, you watch, if you're behind him in defense and you watch the intensity and the effort that he's giving, it's kind of hard not to not play hard. I mean, when a kid like that's giving that much effort, you know, and then so that kind of snowballs or grows within the team. I think, you know, his intensity is as good as anybody's in this state. I mean, that's anybody. And that feeds on the rest of these kids. You know, so that does set a tone for us, how hard he plays. And the rest of it's got to be carried through the rest of our lineup, and it has been.
So moving on to another guy in the lineup that I think is really important, that end the floor. One thing I heard a coach say earlier in the year is that a lot of kids in high school tend to look at the scoring side of a scorebook or a stat book, but not the defensive side of it, and the great players will often look at the defensive side first. I feel like Donovan really portrays that well for you guys, because he's not a guy that really puts up a ton of stats, but he does all the little things well when you watch him play. And I remember you mentioning that at the start of the year. How important is that?
Sure, he does. He is such a big addition to our team this year, coming back after a year off. People don't realize how important players like that are. And he's took on that role. A lot of people around here probably don't remember Donovan as a younger player when he played in junior high. He was a good basketball player then as well. He also was probably the team's leading scorer, leading assist guy. He was their best offensive player. He's still a good offensive player when he wants to be, but he just does what's necessary for this team to win. He's been getting better, a bit more aggressive, and we want him to do that. So hopefully within the next 2 weeks, people will see a little different side of him, even on the offensive end. But, he's really embellished that role of being a good defensive player and amongst other things he does for us out there. So we're tickled to death that he's having a year that he is. He's having a great year for us, and hopefully we'll continue that through the tournament.
So I know you said at the beginning of the year that obviously expectations at Upperman are always high, and you said you felt really, really good about how team this could be this year. Did you ever imagine them being in the position they're in right now?
Well, no, I don't think – I don't know how other coaches prepare for the season, but, to get the schedule out and look at it and think you're going to be this win, this loss, going to have a certain record at a certain time, we really don't – do that. I do know that we try to cater our schedule to what we have, and I feel like our schedule has been very good. We've played some really, really good teams, and we've done that on purpose, trying to make our kids better and trying to improve the group. I don't feel like we've surpassed our expectations. I go back and watch film, there's always a lot of things we can sure improve on, for sure, and that's kind of how I approach it as coach. We try to make sure that we're continuously getting better and not being complacent, regardless of how many losses we have. What your record is or what your rankings are, we really don't pay any attention to that. We go one game at a time. But I'm happy for these kids that they're having such a good year. They work really hard, and they deserve to have a good tournament run here. So hopefully we can continue doing what we've been doing and have a good tournament run. So we'll see.
One of the teams that could very well be holding up a gold ball in Murfreesboro here in just a couple of weeks, the Upperman Bees of head coach Bobby McWilliams. York Institute Lady Dragons closed their regular season in third place in the district. A lot of that due to the success at the defensive end of the court. Head coach Michael Green joins us now from Mountain Barn Builders High School Playbook. Coach, Sage Smith, how much of a catalyst defensively, and how has that impacted your team during the course of this season?
Defensively, she's one of our better defenders. And when she's on, we're pretty tough. She's struggled a little bit here lately, as most other players we have. But we really count on her. If she's on her A game, we're hard to play with. We can get her bringing the ball up and handling the ball and kind of getting it out of Haley's hands a little bit more, and try to create time for her. And when she's hitting a shot, she's hitting her outside shots, and being aggressive offensively, we're pretty good.
I know that you've kind of been searching for that consistent second scorer behind Haley. Sometimes it's been Gabby, sometimes it's been Ellie, and sometimes it's been Sage. Is there a chance, though, that Sage could end up being that in the long run?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with all of them, I'm told them, it's like, y'all can, do anything you want to. Right now, it's kind of a mental block that we're trying to get over, confidence, whatever it may be. But I've told them, you control that. If you've had a good game once, you can have a good game again. And, but until we get to doing that consistently, it's going to be hard for us to do very good. But, hopefully here in the next week or so, we'll get on track. And if we can get all four or five on the same page and playing good, I think we'll be hard to handle.
We've talked about Gabby multiple times before, and it's important to recognize that she's had really one of the standout freshman seasons in the Upper Cumberland. What's been the smoothest transition of her game from the middle school level to the high school level?
Well, she's really, in middle school she played a lot of post around the block, and I've you know, she's our best shooter. And I've tried to venture her out under the, around the three-point line, and that's kind of, you know, she hadn't been used to being out there a lot, but she's had, you know, hands down probably our most solid outside threat. And, of course, she struggled a little bit during the last week or two, but she's really came on from the outside. I think that's the part of her game that, you know, she didn't know she could be as good at as she has been. And once she gets back there, you know, she's going to be back on the roll again, hopefully.
You alluded to it perfectly. And my next question is just how is her versatility the biggest strength in her game?
Yeah, you can, yeah, you know, she can, you know, she's comfortable around the block area. You know, she can post up here. Last couple games, she's got more aggressive on the drive. When she realizes, you know, that she's a good player, you know, she's going to be solid every night. She can, you know, she's very versatile as far as, you know, if you get a big on her, she can take them off the dribble. And if, you know, if you've got a guard on her, you know, you can post her up. So she's very versatile in that sense. Her biggest thing right now is mental, and once she overcomes that, you know, she's going to be fine.
So I guess that leads into my next question as well. It's probably hard when you have as good a season as she's had, but what part of her game would you like to see grow even more heading into next year?
Defensively, I would like to see her, you know, strengthen up defensively, her off-the-ball help and, you know, things like that. And just confidence. Once she realizes that, you know, how good she can be, you know, she's going to be one of the top players around.
So with a lot of young teams, and I've seen this from a lot of schools this year, it seems like they all almost shy away from contact. They don't like driving to the goal because they're afraid they're going to get hit and they're going to fall to the floor. It doesn't seem like your team really has that issue, though. And I see that with Ellie a lot, especially in the post, that she's able to finish through contact a lot. Is that something that you had to drill in from day one, or did your players just – are they just naturally okay with playing physical?
Well, and I've had – you know, I've had Ellie since she was in fourth, fifth grade, and she's, you know, she's always – she's never shied away from contact. I think it's in her genetics. She's definitely not afraid of it. Gabby, it must be in her genetics too, because she's not. I didn't have her until this year, but she's not. You know, she's not shy. They're, you know, they're strong girls. Sometimes we struggle with, you know, we'll try to take the ball up through the defender, and you know, instead of, they're almost sometimes a little bit too physical on offense, instead of, you know, maybe trying to go up and, you know, adjust your shot a little bit. We'll just try to go up between two, and sometimes we get blocked, and that doesn't work out for us if we don't get the foul call. But I would rather be as physical like they are instead of, like you said, you know, trying to avoid contact, being afraid to hit the floor. They're definitely two tough girls, though.
York Institute coach Michael Green, thanks for the time this morning. Crisscrossing the Upper Cumberland this Saturday morning, get you ready for district tournament action that gets underway on Monday. Hard to believe it. We're starting to reduce the field as we move toward the state basketball playoffs in Murfreesboro here in just a couple of weeks. This is the High School Playbook from Rock 93.7. We are presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Clay County Bulldogs have secured a double bye for their district tournament and maybe playing some of their best basketball at just the right time. Coach Rob Edwards joins us now, who, by the way, has been known to be a little bit superstitious. But, Coach, I guess what you're thinking is we got to be playing our best basketball from here, right?
Well, obviously you want to be playing your best at this time of year and from here on out. So, you know, am I a believer in it? Well, yeah, I guess I am. You know, it's been proven time and time again that teams that get hot at the end of the season you know, travel well through postseason play. So hopefully that's where we're at. You know, we've got finally got everybody back healthy. I think yesterday was our first practice that I've had everybody in probably 4 or 5 weeks. So hopefully we're getting healthy and getting hot at the right time.
So with the season winding down, at least the regular season, you know, the high school careers of your seniors are also, you know, slowly coming to an end. What's the message to them as you're heading into postseason play?
Well, I mean, I don't have to talk about it being their last trip through there. They're aware of that. They're both smart guys, and you know, they know what's on the line each night, and they've done a great job throughout the season of being leaders for us, and not only during the games, but you know, when the stands are. are not full, you know, coming to practice and being there early and setting the tone for practice. And, you know, that's just what we expect them to keep on doing. And they'll take us as far, we'll go as far as they can take us.
So my last question for you, Coach, is just what can you say about Jake and Mason and what they've given you in their times, you know, in your program, not just as athletes, but as students?
Well, they've just been, you know, a perfect example of what a student athlete's supposed to be. You know, they're great in the classroom. They're great leaders in the hallways, and they're not a kind of kid. They're not the kind of type of kid that a teacher's going to flag me down the hallway and say, you know, he needs to get his work done. I don't have that type of issues with these guys, and this says a lot about their character and the type of guys they are. And you know, I really appreciate the fact that they brought that, and they can show some of these younger guys how to you know, how to go 4 years and be a good leader.
Look forward to following the Clay County Bulldogs throughout the postseason at UCSportsStation.com. Head coach Rob Edwards with us on the High School Playbook. All right, let's go down the road to Livingston Academy, talk some Wildcats boys basketball. The men's team finishing in fifth place in the district heading into the tournament. Team lost their final regular season game Thursday night at Cannon County, but head coach Jimmy Miller, I guess you're emphasizing that this basketball team needs to take the rest of the season kind of one game at a time?
We have to continue to do what we've been doing, take these games one at a time and not make them actually bigger than they are, because I don't think that we're far enough along to be worrying about the, you know, second, third game after this. We got to try to get one at a time. Cannon County is definitely a big enough challenge. They've beaten us once at home. We definitely know how hard it is to go there and play and win. So we're going to try to stay focused on playing the best ball we can right now. That's our main concern.
I've been on record that saying that Matthew Sells' talent alone could be enough to lead a team on a postseason run if he gets hot enough from the floor. It's still a team game, though, obviously, and you've said that a lot of times throughout the year. Who are a couple players you know you will have to have give you big production for this team to make any kind of noise?
Nick, so he's been being consistent for us. He's going to have to continue to be. Will McDonald and Aubrey Hollers offensively have to be. Really, we need all that help. If you line Melton off the bench, Nate Carwell's got to be continue to be confident in his shooting. So, you know, there's quite a few things that need to go, you know, well offensively for us to be able to try to make a run.
So let's talk about one more player before I get to my last question. That's Aubrey Hollers. Aubrey Hollers, I feel like if you ask me to describe him in one word watching him play, it's just energy. It's that he is playing with the most energy of anybody on the floor. It doesn't always show up in the stat book, but what is his impact on the game for you?
We can't take it off the floor. Aubrey Hollers is some glue for us, but like you said, it's easy sometimes for people not to realize that if you're not putting the huge numbers up. You know, someone scores 16 in a quarter, it might overshadow the huge things that Aubrey Hollers does to make us better. Aubrey Hollers, in another word, is just tough. He's tough and he's a competitor. You have to have that if you're seniors and your seniors. And for us to make any kind of run postseason, we're going to have the best from our seniors.
Your team has battled through injuries early on in the year, and now you're playing some of your more consistent basketball of the year at the right time. Are there words right now for how proud you are of this team and for the guys, for all the heart they show every game?
No, I mean, you tell them every day, you tell them enough how proud you are, because with the record not being what you would want it to be, you would expect the team, sometimes especially young team, to roll over and you just accept where they are. These guys not only come to games and play like that, they show up every day in practice. They're the best practice team I've ever coached in my tenure in LA. They show up serious. They show up with a great work ethic every single day. So they make it fun to come back.
Thanks for spending part of your Saturday morning with us, getting ready for high school district tournament action on the High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Cab Lady Tigers have battled adversity, injuries, illness, seemingly all year long. But they will go into the District 8 AA tournament, hoping to make some noise. Head coach Danny Fish joins us, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach, you like the toughness and the grit that your team has played with all year long, even though the record maybe hasn't been what you wanted?
showed a tremendous amount of toughness this year, you know, battling through the schedule that we played, which is, you know, one of the top schedules in the state for AA. And, you know, we were injured and banged up for, you know, predominantly three quarters of the first part of the season. And, you know, because of that, it allowed us to show tremendous growth in our younger players and our bench and, you know, different people stepping up at different times, trying to do different things. And, you know, here lately, it's kind of really paid off for us, as you've seen last night, you know, at Smith. I think we had like 8-9 kids in the scoring column different times making big shots for us. And, you know, we've just showed a lot of toughness, you know, physically and mentally to be at the point that we are right now and playing the way that we are right now. And, you know, we always break the year down into three seasons, you know, the preseason, the regular season, and the postseason. And, you know, the postseason matters the most, and that's when you want to be playing your best. And I think that we are right now, and hopefully we can put together a good run.
You mentioned that growth that you see when you play a tough schedule and you deal with those injuries that you dealt with. How much, I know the season's not over yet, but how much hope does that give you for next year to know that this season prepared your younger players more for what's to come?
Well, it just kind of shows us of where they're at right now, and, you know, kind of when we get into our off-season program, what we need to work on as a team, you know, for the kids that we got coming back, and, you know, the individual programs that those kids need to work on, because I don't believe that you put every kid on the same program, you know, so... just identifying some strengths in those kids and some weaknesses in those kids, and that help us better prepare in the off season of how to be better next year, you know, and definitely getting their feet wet in AAA, and next year won't be their, you know, first rodeo. So hopefully it'll prepare us pretty well for, you know, getting those kids off the bench and getting them a lot of game time this year.
That win against Smith, it guaranteed a winning overall record for you for the season, but I know that it had to mean more to you as a coach to get that district win to break the tie in the standings, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to be in that top four every year, you know, solidify ourselves in the top half of AAA, and, you know, you've been around as long as I have, and everybody knows, you know, AAA is one of the cream of the crops here in AA basketball in the state of Tennessee, and to be in that top four on a consistent basis is something that we've strived for since I've been coaching here, and you know, able to lock that up with the kind of the roller coaster ride of stuff that's went on with our team this year definitely shows that, you know, we deserve to be there. And, you know, that first round bye is huge. You know, you got one game to win there in the district tournament, and it puts you into the region, and, you know, the regional tournament's you know, where you make your money at. I mean, the district tournament's great. You know, if we could, you know, find ourselves in the finals, we get to host that game. But, you know, I just want to be in the region tournament. You know, that way we can win that first round game. You know, we're in the regional semis, and we're basically two games away from the glass house, being able to get in there. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal for every team, is to make it to Murfreesboro. So, you know, being in that top.
Coach, still there? I think I might have lost your connection there for a second. You still there?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, now that I've got you back. All right, well, we'll just go on to the next question. So you mentioned getting that first round bye in the district tournament. How important is that just to kind of get your players a little bit, especially your starters, getting them a little bit more extra rest before your first game in the tournament?
It's good. You know, we had a short week this week, so we're off today, but we'll get back on the ground on Sunday and start preparing for, you know, whatever team that we're going to play. But extra leg rest this time of year, and mental rest too, you know. I mean, our schedule's pretty grueling, and but extra rest definitely puts us in a better position, I think. You know, you can look at that two different ways. Some teams just like to keep playing, that way they don't, I guess, get out of, you know, they don't become lethargic or, you know, become, you know, out of rhythm. But for us, I feel like, you know, because we're so senior led, and, you know, we play, you know, 5-6 kids a lot. You know, it gives them a little extra rest and a little extra mental time. So it's definitely beneficial for this team. You know, if we were a little bit deeper, you know, 8-9 kids where we were playing on a consistent basis, I wouldn't, you know, think that it would, you know, hurt or help us that much. But I believe it's beneficial for this team and this group this year.
You mentioned getting to play some players last night that maybe normally don't get some playing time. How good of a feeling is that as a coach, though, to see those players out on the court getting that experience?
Oh, it's great. You know, I mean, those kids, they've worked as hard as anybody all year. You know, our Summer Crooks and Madison Martins and Hannah Willinghams. And, you know, we expect those kids to play big roles next year. So, but it's great to get them on the floor and just kind of, you know, get those feelings of, you know, it's not my first game out of the way, which it's not any of their first games, but definitely good to see them out there in a district game in a pretty, you know, hostile environment over at Smith. And definitely sees that, you know, what we can do in the tournament if we, you know, different positions we may be put in the tournament, whether it be foul trouble or, you know, never know when an injury is going to happen. But, you know, that those kids are prepared and ready. And, you know, more so I know what, you know, to expect and what we may be able to get out of them. And, you know, if we call their number.
Coach, you've got four really talented seniors that, at least as basketball players, you're going to be saying goodbye to at the end of the year. I know you'll probably coach a few of them in softball as well. What can you say about how they've grown as players and what they've meant to you, though, as a member of this specific team in your time coaching them?
Well, you know, I took over the program when they were freshmen. So, you know, it's like I tell them, they're the first four. There will never be another first four. You know, first kids that I had for 4 years, there'll never be another one of those. So, you know, I held them to, you know, a high standard right there of, you know, players coming in behind them, of the commitment level that it's going to take to keep our program where it is. You know, I mean, if God willing, that we're able to get to the region this year, and that would be 3 out of 4 of their years they've been in the region. And, you know, 1 year, you know, sectional champs, and, regional runner-ups, and, you know, in the glass house. You know, there's never been another group here at the Cab that's been able to do that. And that says a lot about them and the commitment towards our program and the commitment to being better. But, you know, I know that no bird is meant to stay in the nest, but, you know, I wish I could have them, you know, longer. But, you know, hopefully some of the characteristics and some of the things that they've played with and, you know, the work ethic that they've, you know, showed to the rest of the players will, you know, kind of rub off on them. So hopefully those things will, you know, trickle down to our other players, and they'll just keep rolling with that. But, you know, those kids, man, they mean a lot to me. You know, I coached two of them in two sports, and the other two, they just they mean a tremendous amount to me, too, and just, you know, never forget those first four ever.
Head coach Danny Fish of the DeKalb County Lady Tigers has basically now all the records are 0-0, and we'll see what happens with district tournaments and then moving on to the sectionals and hopefully state tournament down in Murfreesboro. We'll have it all covered for you at ucsportsnation.com over the next several weeks, and, of course, right here Saturday morning, where we talk to the coaches and players at Chick-fil-A. We are produced by Maddie Grider and Will Hearn, along with Kevin Duke. Rusty Ellis managing UC Sports Nation this week for the new daddy, Justin Matheny. Congratulations to Justin and his two ladies. See you back here next Saturday morning, 9 o'clock.